Sarah, you're a genius. I love it. Yeah, exactly. Welcome, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. I think I know everyone here. You all know me, Kristen, Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care. With me in leadership is our brilliant music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, and our wonderful organ scholar, Oscar Hodgson. Our choir is among you. Thank you so much for being here on such a monumental morning, for showing up, for creating community, maybe show of hands. Do you want spoilers as the service progresses? Yes? Okay, Steve, you're going to be my spoiler monitor for the game. And yes. Okay, we will keep you posted. I guess everyone has cell phones and can be doing it themselves, but I'm not going to look at my cell phone. So Steve will give me the things and I can say it out loud. We are a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of this neighborhood and also in our city, and we gather each week to learn and to grow and to serve. And we're proud to be an affirming congregation representing a variety of ages and gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds. This is a place where everyone is welcome. Some announcements from the life and the work of this community. Next Sunday, that's March 1st, we are hosting a reunion of the Gibby Mish Kadaman Reconciliation Canoe Trip participants. So we're hosting around 20 youth from across Canada. This is also with special guests from the Sandy Salto Spiritual Center in Manitoba, a United Church of Canada site dedicated to deepening connections across Indigenous and Christian spiritualities. And at church next week, we will be hearing from the experiences of Indigenous youth. We will receive sacred teachings with drumming and singing. We do hope that you can be here to participate, to receive the gifts of the Indigenous young people who will be joining us, and also to gift them with your presence and with your community. This afternoon, there is an artist reception. Our artist of the month is having a reception here in the Catherine Grant Room from 1 to 3 p.m. And speaking of art, we are offering in the month of March two evenings, Thursday, March 19th and March 26th, a two-session workshop exploring the art of floral abstraction. You can come away, no matter what your art ability, with a painting that you create yourself. Anyone can sign up and experience creating art, and kind of it's therapeutic as well, in a supportive and engaging environment. Check that out on our website. And shifting gears now, just a little bit of context for today. We have entered now into a new season in the Christian church calendar. Today is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, and these are the 40 days leading up to the celebration of Easter. And Lent comes from the Old English word lengthen, that referred to the season of spring and its lengthening hours of daylight. And it's also related to the French word lent, which means to move slowly. And so as the natural world moves slowly towards spring, gathering energy for living through lengthening daylight, so our spirits are slowly gathering energy for their own renewal at Easter. 40 is a symbolic number in the Bible. It just means basically the amount of time required for a change. So we know it rained 40 days and 40 nights before Noah emerged from the ark, and that Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai before descending with the Ten Commandments, and the people of Israel spent 40 years wandering in the desert before crossing over into the Promised Land, and Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness before emerging with a clear sense of mission and ministry. So these 40 days are intended to transform our hearts and our lives. It's a season we're invited to consider how to bridge the gap between the life we're living and the life God calls us to. It's a season to embrace the spiritual practices that will help us reassess and repair so that we can live more fully and be better stewards of life for all. And so it's in this spirit that I invite you to stand as you're able and to join with me in our call to worship, calling ourselves into this new season. As we enter this Lenten season, God renews God's promise to us. God promises to support us when life calls us to a tough decision. Will we renew our promise to God? God promises to travel with us through the places of testing. Will we renew our promise to God? God promises to show us the faithful and wise way. Will we renew our promise to God? God promises that when we fail or falter, God will not forsake us. Will we renew our promise to God? In the life and death of Jesus Christ, we know we are able to trust God's promises. And so we recommit to our promise to trust God's leading in the hard places we encounter and in the hard places encountered in the life of our faith community, knowing that the promises of God are to be eternally trusted, we come to worship. And so we sing the King of Love. We're singing verses 1 and 2 and verses 4 and 5.
Thank you.
Friends, the peace of Christ be with you all, and also with you. And I invite you now to turn to those who are around you to offer and extend this peace of Christ, saying the peace of Christ be with you. Especially reach out to someone you haven't seen in a while or someone you haven't met. And offer congrats to Nicola and Andrew, who were married last Friday. I light our Christ candle this morning. May this light give comfort to all who suffer, all who mourn, all who are in pain. And may this light be visible to all who have need of it. May it light the deepest and most difficult of nights and draw us closer to the love of God that we know through Christ. I invite us into a moment of silence now to gather ourselves, to quiet our minds, to open our hearts as we draw closer to God's Spirit in prayer. Let us pray. In our sharing together, help us, God, to engage with your word. In our singing together this morning, help us to experience your song. In our working together as community, in this neighborhood, in this city, in this time and this place, help us to feel your presence. In our loving together, help us to know your spirit. In the shadow and in the bright places, help us to share your love. In Jesus' name, we ask it, O God. And hear now our words of confession. Friends, I invite you to join along with me, to be at peace with God, with others, and with ourselves is to be whole. Let us confess those things that separate us from God and make us less than who God calls us to be. The season of Lent is a gift to us to remember and to refocus. God of life, we confess that all too often we spend too much energy on what is of no real importance. We confess the times when we forget what really matters. We confess that too often we ignore the signs of your presence that are all around us, that we fail to celebrate them. Call us once again to trust in you, God of life. We open our hearts saying together the prayer of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God is the love that over and around us lies, the grace, the healing that makes the whole earth whole. We are a people who believe in life and in hope. Hear these words of assurance. Opening our theme this morning, Lent is beginning in the winter. It always begins in the winter. And in winter, it looks as though the natural world is inactive, everything just covered in snow. But beneath the surface, underground, the natural world is preparing itself to support life. Bacteria and fungi are restoring the soil, balancing nutrients, storing carbon, decomposing layers of leaves, and improving the structure of the soil so it can support healthy roots. And in the same way, our Christian tradition in this season asks us to look at what needs to be repaired within ourselves and restored so that just like the soil, just like what's going on beneath the surface right now, we too can have more capacity to support life in ourselves and for our planet. And so some questions for you to contemplate, and these are just for you in your own heart. What needs healing and repairing in you this season? What's getting in the way of you experiencing a full life? What needs to be healed or realigned in your life so that you can be a better steward of life in our world? What needs healing or realigning in your life so that you can be a better steward of life in our world? I invite you into a moment of contemplation. As Tom comes forward with our scripture reading, some words of introduction. We are going beneath the surface, noticing what's going on underground in the natural world as a metaphor for the spiritual work of the season of Lent. And it's fitting that as we begin this season, our readings invite us to natural settings, the Garden of Eden in Genesis and the wilderness with Jesus. Western culture trains us to approach texts literally, but the book of Genesis wasn't intended to impart scientific facts or history. It's a book about the existential experience of being human. And so I invite you to hear it and our other words of scripture this morning, to approach them as you would approach poetry. Expect to wrestle with their meaning. Try to hear the texts with fresh ears.
Please join me in a prayer of illumination. Let us pray. O God, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear what you are saying to us today. Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it up and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. In these ancient words, may we find wisdom for living today. Please join me in reading a poetic translation of Psalm 32. Your words are in bold. "Blessed are you whose wrongdoings have been forgiven, whose shame has been forgotten. Blessed are you in whom love divine finds a home and whose spirit radiates truth." When I acknowledged on my shortcomings, I became ill through all my defenses, and day and night, guilt weighed heavy, constricting my heart. My spirit became dry as desert bones. I admitted my faults to the Most High and made known my regret. I cried out, "Forgive me, O Comforter, for those times I have sinned in my thoughts, my words, and my deeds." And the Beloved created within me a clean and open heart. Therefore, let everyone who is sincere give thanks to the Beloved. For whenever we feel paralyzed by fear, we shall be embraced by love, dwelling in the heart of the Beloved. We are free from distress, free to live more creatively. My Beloved, you are my guide. You teach me to walk in the light. Be watchful of me. Counsel me as I listen to you in the silence. I pray for the gifts of inner peace and wisdom, for the grace to reverence of all of creation. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. May these words comfort us, challenge us, and inspire us.
Friends, we stand as able to sing in response, "Jesus Tempted in the Desert." Please be seated. I believe we do have some hockey updates, which we'll need to bring to prayer. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Okay, so the Canadians lost in overtime. We will, let us pray. Compassionate God, we thank you for the joy that our national men's hockey team brought us this morning. Watching them play connected us as a community, connected us across the country, connected us around the world. What joy these Olympic athletes from every nation have brought us as a human race. How much fun we've had. We thank you for all of them, for their commitment, for their drive, for their sacrifices, for their joy. We ask you to be with all who have been a part of the Olympics, who have realized their dreams, and those who are grieving dreams left undone. Comfort them, companion them. God, we thank you for stories. Stories that connect us, stories of compassion and care, of vulnerability and healing, stories of discomfort and hope and love. As we find parts of ourselves reflected in our biblical stories, may we always know that we are part of your story and the story of the church in the world. May we always know that we are loved by you, God. It is you who gathers us together as community, you who transforms us to be church together, who helps us reflect on ourselves and our place, on you and your love, you who through us brings love into the world. We pray this morning for people among us in our churches, people who are living with pain or wounds or racial trauma. May our churches become spaces of healing and spaces of belonging. God, we ask that we may be present with one another as you are present with us. We continue to pray for the parents and families who are grieving in Tumbler Ridge. Send them support and compassion. And may all of us work together to create a society that better supports mental health and actively limits access to harm. We have such gratitude, God, for each person here. Thank you for creating a world full of unique people with gifts and personality. Thank you that there is still so much kindness in our world, so many people who are neighborly, so many who contribute to goodness and good causes all around the world. Thank you for art and for creativity and for the blank canvas of a new day. Spirit, inspire us and hold us. This we pray in faith. Amen. And I invite you into a moment of response. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God, as a blessing for the world. So in honor of Ash Wednesday, which marked the official beginning of Lent this past week, as part of our sacred gesture this morning, we are inviting you to come forward and to receive the mark of ashes, either on your forehead or on the back of your hand. The wearing of ashes, and they're made from burning last year's palms from Palm Sunday, is considered a sign of repentance, which just means turning. And it's an appropriate way to begin the season of Lent. So Mariana and I will come and stand at the front, and you're welcome to come forward. This is completely invitational. You can use this moment if you want. Sarah will be playing contemplative music. You can use it in any way that you like. Staying in the pews is fine. Coming forward, giving an offering to the life and work of this church, this moment is truly yours. Thank you, choir. I love that new piece that Sarah's found. It's really special. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So one summer, I made it my goal to complete a section of the Bruce Trail, which is the 900-kilometer hiking trail that runs along the escarpment from Niagara to Tobermory. And I was very type A about my project. We have an old-school hard copy of the trail map in a small binder, and each segment of the trail is a page, and I delighted in highlighting each portion of the route as I completed it. But on my last day of hiking, as I was about to finish walking the final segment of the portion of the trail I was trying to complete, I hit a roadblock, literally. The trail was blocked off, barricaded. A sign had been posted at the barricade, "Trail closed," it read, "for construction." I'd come upon this limit, and it was annoying because I really wanted to highlight that last centimeter of the trail in my book. And so I decided that the words "trail closed" could be open to interpretation. That the trail could be closed to other people, but that it could still be open for me. I figured I could handle any construction that was ahead, and so I kept going along. Following my route, I kept walking for a long time, actually, thinking the sign had really exaggerated, until I came to this place where, truly, the trail was impassable. It had been entirely fenced off, and you couldn't scale the fence, and you couldn't go around it, and I was forced to go all the way back and retrace my steps. And I decided to follow then a side trail that I thought would lead me to the same place as the original trail, but I got disoriented, and I actually got lost, and ended up walking until I found a highway, and luckily I still had cell phone service because I had to call for a ride to come and pick me up and take me to my car in the trailhead. The story we heard from the book of Genesis is a story about limits and our human desire to want to cross over them. In the creation story we heard, God makes the earth and the heavens and fashions the first earthling, the first human, the man, Adam, from the dust of the ground, from soil, breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. Then God forms another earthling, another human, from a part of the first creature, and this is the woman, Eve. These two earthlings God creates not as the pinnacles of creation, not as God's crowning achievements, not to live like royalty, doing whatever they please, but to be endowed with a sacred purpose and task. In the story, God creates these humans to be the caretakers of the world and everything that lives within it. Humans are created to be stewards of the plants and animals and water and air and soil and insects, to care for all of life and to preserve it. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it, it says in the creation story in Genesis. Now, to protect the world God has created, God imposes certain limits on the humans, boundaries not to cross. You may eat freely of every tree in the garden, God says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. If the humans do, God says, it will mean the end of life as they have known it. One of the most beautiful and incredible and inspiring parts of being human is that we do have this drive to challenge limits, to stare at the horizon and wonder what lies beyond it, to ask how we can instead of focusing on how we can't. Our drive to challenge limits is what empowered a person like Beethoven to compose symphonies even though he'd lost his capacity to hear, and what empowers the work of the scientists behind the Artemis II mission to send humans back to the moon. One of the athletes I was captivated by at this year's Olympics was the gold-winning figure skater Alyssa Liu, who is the very embodiment of challenging limits. She'd retired from skating, hung up her skates, but decided to return to competition. And she was considered old in a sport that favors teenagers. And in women's figure skating, every competitor looks like everyone else, hair gelled, nothing out of place, dainty. But Alyssa Liu showed up with her hair dyed in tiger stripes and her eyes lined with black liquid liner and sporting a mouth piercing she'd apparently done herself. People wonder at the character of the serpent in the creation story we heard. It's been interpreted to represent the embodiment of evil. But I think the serpent in the creation story is a manifestation of our human drive to challenge limits, to exert autonomy, and to show personality. When the serpent presses the woman in the story, did God say, "You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" It's like we're seeing pictured in animal form that limit-pushing drive that lives within each of ourselves. In our contemporary culture, we are biased against limits. We are wary of limits. From the youngest age, we're taught that there can be no limit to what we can do and be and achieve. When my older kids were little, they were really obsessed with this movie series called High School Musical, where one of the characters sings this song called "I Want It All." And that just sums up the contemporary Western mindset. Bigger is better, and better is bigger, she sings. A little bit is never enough. Modern life is defined by its limitlessness. I didn't want to miss out on the gold medal hockey game this morning, and I didn't have to. I could stream it while I was blow-drying my hair, stream while Steve drove us to church, stream here in the sanctuary. If we want an obscure book delivered to our cottage tomorrow, it can be there. We can find asparagus and blueberries and watermelon in the grocery store in February. We can fly to a hot and sunny place tomorrow if winter's getting to be too much. Pushing at limits is what's allowed humans to scale Everest and invent vaccines, but we know that limitlessness comes at a cost. The message of the creation story in Genesis is that when it comes to supporting life, our own, and the lives of others, embracing limits is actually essential. And Lent is a season when we're invited to reconsider our relationship to limits. The woman saw that the tree God had commanded the humans not to touch was good for food and a delight to the eyes and was to be desired to make one wise. It was a bold move, an assertion of freedom and autonomy to take the fruit and eat it and to share it with the man. And God was right. It ended life for the humans as they had known it. After eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the humans move from a childlike experience of existence where a parental God sets the boundaries and controls the limits for them to becoming like adults, where they would now be required, for better or for worse, to set boundaries and impose limits on themselves for their own good and for the good of the world they'd been tasked to take care of. The paradox of being human is that while we bristle at limits, we also know that limits are life-giving for us. Saying no to one thing actually means we're saying yes to something else. Remember when we all limited our driving and flying during the early months of the pandemic, and there were reports from all over the world of the air in cities clearing up and birds and animals returning? It was astounding, actually, how quickly the natural world began to repair and to heal itself. Every spiritual tradition has a practice of pausing, as one of my favorite writers, Nancy Steeve, puts it, pausing from consumption and production and potential exploitation of people and animals and planet, a practice of saying no to certain things in order to say yes to others, not to curb life, but to bring us back to being the people we were created to be. Buddhism offers meditation to allow our minds to rest and to help us limit the cravings and desires that lead to mindless living. Judaism offers the practice of Sabbath, a day to light candles, to share a meal with people we love, to get outside, to revel in everything that makes life worth living, and to bring this mindset back into our daily lives. Limits can be positive. Christianity and Islam both adapted the Jewish practice of Sabbath to create our own versions of sacred pause. In Christianity, every Sunday is a feast of resurrection, a day to come back to what brings us life and to be conscious again of what doesn't bring us life. In Islam, each day is punctuated by 5 sacred pauses, 5 moments to stop, to kneel, to pray, and to remember a sense of blessing. Yesterday, I took my niece and nephew while their parents were away. I was babysitting for the day. And it had been a while since I'd spent a whole day with little kids, taking care of them. I took them to the hands-on family center at the AGO, and we were sitting at a craft table working at our creations. "This is so relaxing," my nephew said. And it was. It felt good sitting alongside them, caring, and actually being cared for in return. I had that feeling that my parents used to call a warm fuzzy, just this total joy. I think because I was reminded in that moment that I need them and they need me, it was a reminder of my limits and theirs. We needed each other. We are limited as mortals, dust that we are. And just for that moment, there was nothing more life-giving. Amen. Friends, we stand in body or spirit as we sing Worship the Lord. We're singing verses 1 and 2, and then we're jumping to verse 5. 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you.
Please join with me in our sending out and in the words to our Lenten Tenebrae. In this season of refocus and renewal, we release from ourselves that which minimizes our lives and the lives of others. God of the Lenten journey, as the smoke from this candle rises to greet you, may it take with it all of our apprehension of limits. We pray that you might fill us with your divine knowledge of goodness. Walk with us as we journey to Easter. You'll recognize the tune of our sung blessing. It's the same tune that we sang during Advent, but different lyrics.